This morning I want to talk about celebration and commemoration amidst suffering. And I knew this was going to be like the year anniversary of COVID and lockdowns, but I didn't know we were also going to be losing an hour of sleep. That was almost a bit of a deal breaker for me. Then I did not have a good sleep last night, and I said, my goodness, I have to come here and speak about how we're going to find celebration and commemoration amidst suffering, and I'm pretty cranky, a little sleep deprived. So I have to stand on the word this morning. About last Sunday, during service, a memory verse came back to me, Psalm 23, verse 5. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, or you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. And such a weird verse, really is, if you think about it. There was a time to have a feast, to get intimate with God. You wouldn't think it'd be when you're surrounded by your enemies. You're on the precipice of seeming disaster, and God's like, let's have a party. It's pretty wild. Strange, strange time to celebrate. But actually, all throughout the Bible, this is a very common concept. God's a bit of a strange fellow, at least us. His standards are not our standards. His ways are not our ways. So even though it doesn't seemingly make sense, in the middle of suffering, in the middle of pain, to rejoice, to give God glory, to find the good that's out there, that's what we're going to do. Also, some of this was actually inspired by the sanctuary course we're taking on Wednesday. I was just reading through some of that and just thinking of, it just spoke to me in all sorts of different ways, especially within the realm of suffering. A beautiful thing about suffering within the realm of Christianity is that we have a huge advantage over the rest of the world because we get to reframe it. We get to draw meaning from it and purpose, versus it can just be a complete mystery and a complete frustration to others. So first of all, I just want to establish a real big point here that, first of all, turmoil and suffering are common and inevitable. Common and inevitable. We're going to walk through pain, we're going to walk through hurt, we're going to walk through suffering many times in our life. Jesus himself guaranteed this. John 16:33 says, you will have many trials and sorrows. Not just a few, many trials and sorrows. Think of even Jesus' life. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. But yet he went through all sorts of pain and hurt and rejection, suffering. His family rejected him. They tried to kill him even. His childhood friend and cousin, John the Baptist, was executed. His good friend, Lazarus, got sick and died. As Jesus went around ministering, he was constantly made fun of and belittled, called all sorts of names, lies told about him. In fact, on the day before he was about to go to the cross, he was so stressed out, he was sweating blood, which is like an extreme circumstance that can actually happen. So if you think you've been stressed out, oh my goodness, Jesus certainly has, when he was sweating blood. So he went through this full range of emotional experiences, the triumph and the tragedy. He celebrated, he grieved, he laughed, and he got mad. He wept. This is all the very normative human experience. Throughout the Bible, you're going to see this with God's people. They ride quite the roller coaster, my goodness. Just as we're getting to know them, we realize, they've been thrown into slavery. Later, they're invaded, they're kidnapped, they're exiled from their homeland. All sorts of times, they were at war. They experienced famine. One thing after the other. You just do a character study in the Bible, study one of the people whose story is recorded in there, our heroes of the faith. You're going to see all sorts of roller coasters they had to ride too, all sorts of emotional ups and downs and struggles they had to make their way through. Moses, he's almost killed as a baby. Later he has to flee his adoptive home as a fugitive. This took a toll on him, and when we eventually meet him again and God encounters him, we see a broken man, lacking in confidence, didn't believe God could use him, developed a stutter even. The story of Sarah struggled with infertility and filled her with doubt and unbelief. Gideon struggled with self-worth. King David, his emotional roller coaster is very well documented in Scripture. If you just read the Psalms, you'll see all sorts of emotional ups and downs there. And then one of my favorite passages of Scripture about this comes from the Apostle Paul. He's a pretty famous struggler. 2 Corinthians 11, this is such a wild Bible verse right here. It says, I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 40 was like a death sentence, by the way. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Being stoned is also a death sentence. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night, a day adrift at sea. I traveled on many long journeys. I faced danger from the rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the desert, and on the seas. And I face danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty and have often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. That's a struggle. That's a life of struggle. I can't even imagine being shipwrecked 3 times. Why'd you get on the boat the second time? Only God. It was such overwhelming biblical evidence that suffering is common, it's a part of our life. But we have this real weird thing in Christian culture, and this is part of what the sanctuary course is addressing, that when we see someone going through suffering, we often assume, oh, they must not really have their life together. Maybe they've got some secret sin God's trying to deal with, or maybe they're not the Christian we think they are. And we can just make people feel so weak and unspiritual because they're going through a hard time. And we can humiliate them by saying, you know what, all you need is just a quick prayer, and this will all be over. You just need more faith. Have you read the Word recently? Have you spent any time in prayer? Turn on some worship music. Certainly all of that can help. But sometimes people are walking through some lifelong deep pain and hurt. They're walking through some extreme grief. As the Bible teaches us, we're supposed to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. Not immediately get uncomfortable by it and try to fix it. More on that later. See, suffering is so common, it's guaranteed by Jesus himself. And if you happen to be someone that, you know, just believes that Christianity is supposed to be easy peasy, lemon squeezy, dancing through a meadow, smelling a daffodil all the time, I'm thinking you might need to reread your Bible. We're going to go through times of euphoria and excitement, but sometimes we suffer. Sometimes we have moments where God miraculously pulls us out of the mud that we find ourselves in. Sometimes we have to stay there a little while. Sometimes there's things that mess with us our entire lives. Unanswered prayers. But there's hope. Point number 2 is that God uses suffering. It's one of the greatest comforts that we have, is that we can find meaning and purpose from this somehow, some way. We serve a God that can redeem anything. This is actually a foundational concept of Christianity. Our symbol as Christians is the cross, which used to be an execution device. Jesus was killed on it. Yet God has turned it into a symbol of eternal life. That's quite a redemption. Another of his symbols is the tomb, where we put dead people. Why? Because he busted out of there. Literally, if God can redeem death, he can redeem anything. And so we can rejoice in advance, even when we're in the middle of pain, even though we're in the middle of hurt. Even when we've lost an hour of sleep, my goodness, we can still rejoice because we know that God's at work and he can redeem it. One of the ways he redeems suffering is he uses it as a tool of transformation. 1 Peter 5:10. In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. That's a pretty good deal. Romans 5:3-5. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they will help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. In the natural, our physical muscles actually get stronger under strain. And our faith is actually the same way. When we're under trial, when we're under strain, that is an opportunity to grow in every aspect of our life. God's on the move and he's developing us. He's making our faith stronger. He's developing our character. He's changing some of the bad thoughts that we have around, and he's setting us on that firm foundation and say, there's lies that you believe, and let me tell you about the truth. And when this work is complete, when God is working in our hearts like this, you will find at the end of that that you are a far better minister, you are a far better Christian than you were before. Even if when you're in the middle of suffering, you're going to find that you are a better minister to people. It's wild. It's because you can more easily relate to people when you're going through the same thing they've gone through or are going through. When you're in the mud together and you say, there's still hope. Or you can tell people, I've been there and I've done that and I've gotten victory. There is hope. There is a way out of this. You're far more effective than someone says, I have no idea what's going on with you, but hopefully that works out. See, God will also use suffering as a stage to show up and show off. Again, you're going to see that all throughout Scripture. His whole nation of Israel was slaves. What did he do? He showed up and enacted this amazing rescue plan, split a sea in half. In Genesis, we also see Abraham and Sarah, yeah, as they're struggling with infertility. These are who God chooses to become the father and mother of the nation of Israel. He's funny like that. Another one, King David. Largely rejected by his family. Just a little kid. And God works through him and he forges him into the greatest king that Israel had. And he also forged him into someone that would walk very, very closely with God and had an amazing intimacy with him. We have the story of Gideon. As soon as we show up on the scene there in that story, he's scared to death. His nation's under siege. He has zero confidence. God shows up and says, hey, mighty warrior. And he begins to work on his heart and make him into the man that he was called to be. Queen Esther, she was in exile, stolen away, raised in a nation that wasn't her own, basically kind of living life like as a slave. And God raised her up from that and made her into the queen of the nation. And with that position, she ended up saving thousands and thousands of lives. Of course, another famous story, the story of Joseph thrown into prison, sold into slavery. Yet God raised him up to be a very influential person in Egypt. God can use suffering. And he uses it to do amazing things. In these times of suffering, God can actually feel closer than ever before. In these times of suffering, when God can become very real to you. When you lean into him instead of run away like most people do, your personal relationship with God can actually be supercharged during these times of suffering. None of this means suffering is easy. In fact, it's utterly grueling. More often than not, it's gut-wrenching. And sometimes people struggle with things for their entire life. Jacob walked with a limp whole life. Paul, he described this thorn in his flesh. We don't even know what that means, but this super annoying thing that he prayed continually for reprieve. Didn't get it. Many of the Israelites, think of this, they lived their entire lives under slavery. Think of how many unanswered prayers they had. How about all the Israelites that lived their entire lives in exile? It's a lot of unanswered prayers. But the crazy thing is that despite the circumstance they were in, God was still moving. God was still doing amazing things. God was still coming through. Because we're never alone. We're never forsaken. God's always aware of our situation, and he's always in the process of redeeming and using it for his purposes, for using it for good, to do something amazing. And another comfort we can take is that no matter what, there will always be reward and recompense. Whatever you've walked through, God will reward you, and there will be a recompense. And God doesn't just make it even. If you suffered this much, you know, I'll bless you this much. No, no, no. Also, as Psalm 23 says, he fills our cups to overflowing. Meaning, he goes over and above and beyond, and if you suffered this much, he's going to bless you this much. That's how generous he is. And he goes above and beyond to make sure that what happened to you is made right. We can find hope in that in the middle of our pain. This will be rectified somehow, some way. There will be a reward waiting for me somewhere. There's goodness coming out of this somehow. One of the things I like to do when I'm in the middle of pain or stress, or I see adversity facing me, is to say, God, I can't wait to see what you turn this into. I don't like it now, but I think when you're done with it, I sure am going to like it. So I'm choosing in this moment, God, to shift to belief. And that kind of brings me to the main point of my message here, that we must celebrate and commemorate. Even when we're in the middle of a mess, even when they're in the middle of suffering and pain, taking time to celebrate and commemorate is important. I'd refer to this as moving in the opposite spirit. It sounds more advanced than it is, but basically whatever is going on, whatever the stage is set to, always, you can actually move in the exact opposite. Especially when you know what God says and who He is. Again, this is a very big biblical concept. God's the God that sets up a feast right in the middle of, you know, when you're surrounded. If we go back to a Bible verse that we started with here, John 16:33, it says, Jesus saying, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. Next sentence, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Basically saying, you're going to have many bad things happen, but I'm far greater than that. Anything they can throw at you, the world can throw at you, I'm far more powerful, I'm far more capable. Take heart in the fact I've got this under control. I think there's a beautiful dualism there. In one breath, you're acknowledging the pain. You're not pretending it's not there. You're acknowledging it. Yeah, we go through trials. We go through hurt. We go through suffering. But at the same breath, you can actually still have joy when you think of that ultimate victory that you're going to have. There's a famous Christian ceremony called communion. Some people refer to it as the Eucharist. Also has this beautiful dualism. This ceremony that Jesus enacts. And he creates this ceremony literally on the night that he would be betrayed. One of his best friends, some, who's walked with him for years, his disciples, going to betray him. He knows this. He's having a feast. He knows he's about to be crucified and tortured and gone through the most extreme pain that any human ever has gone through. The next day, having a feast. He's preparing a table before his followers in the presence of his enemies. Even though he's facing down the onslaught of the enemy, he says, let's get intimate for a moment. Let's take some time together. It's pretty wild. And the dualism is that he's commemorating the death, the suffering, the pain that he's about to walk through. But at the same time, he's also celebrating the fact that victory will be gained. The freedom will be won. That the power of sin and darkness is going to be broken. He's celebrating the fact that one day he will come back and vanquish it forever and we get to live with him for all of eternity. Think of this regular act that we do of communion and how beautifully this tells us the story of Scripture. Let us remember suffering. Let us remember that Jesus suffered for us. Let us remember there'll be a day that we will suffer no more because of what Christ has done on the cross, that victory has been won. It's a regular reminder that though there's pain, though there's suffering, God's greater than it and He can redeem it. And He did it so big and so bold on the cross that whatever issue you might have or I might have is not as big as the world's sin, my goodness. It's not as big as turning death into life. God can redeem anything. So I think as Christians, we just need to be real about our suffering. It doesn't make you weak. In fact, it could show that God's doing something amazing in you. What if we talk to each other like that? When you know someone's struggling, and you know they're in pain, and you know they're in hurt, yeah, you come alongside and you weep with them, you have sorrow with them, but at the same time you say, I know that God's going to do something amazing in you during this time. I know He's going to draw you closer than ever before. I know you're going to come out of this as a better Christian, a better minister. And we just speak faith into people's situations and encourage them as we stay alongside them as they suffer. It's important to look ahead in faith at the glory that awaits us. Romans 8:18 says this. This is Paul, this amazing sufferer here, writing this. Imagine him writing this. He was shipwrecked multiple times and whipped and stoned, etc., etc. And he can say this statement here. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. A guy that's shipwrecked three times, beaten, basically was treated like a fugitive, thrown in jail, wrote most of the New Testament from jail. Able to say that. You know, this present suffering I'm in, it will not compare to the future glory that's going to be revealed. That's phenomenal. See, it's okay to go through suffering, not okay to set up your camp there, say, this is who I am. A lot of people make their suffering their identity. We need to remember no matter what is thrown our way, we're still a beloved child of God. And He will never leave us or forsake us. So we need to make it a practice when we're in the middle of suffering. Make it a practice to ourselves and also to encourage others to say, you know what? Let's have faith for that future glory. Let's stand together in the middle of this pain. The future glory is going to come. Reconfiguring our mind like this and dwelling on the goodness to come. Again, this is all throughout Scripture. If you read through the Psalms, you'll see this continually. So again, Psalm 13, this is written by King David. He was, again, on the run for the law for a long time because the law was corrupt. King Saul was trying to chase him down because he was jealous. To live decades in caves on the run for his life. Of course, he's rewriting stuff like this. It says, O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let the enemies gloat, saying we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. See, in the middle of some extreme despair and disappointment, David acknowledges the pain. And God, as you'll see throughout the Bible, he welcomes that. Feel free to just let it all out to God. Everything you're going through, your frustration, he welcomes that. Let it all out there. So he acknowledges the pain, but then he forces himself to shift. One of the most powerful words in all sorts of Psalms would be the word but. Because it's very interesting because a lot of Psalms start like this. God, these are my sorrows. This is my situation. This is what's going on. It's terrible. And then you'll see this beautiful change with the word but. And then all of a sudden it'll start to change. This is who my God is, though. This is what I'm going to stand on. And that is a good pattern for us to walk through. We acknowledge our hurt and our pain. We don't pretend it's not there. We're open about it. Why? Because it's setting the stage for God to do something, either transform you or something even beyond that. We need to get good at that. No. But I trust in the goodness of God. No, I trust in his unfailing love. I'm going to rejoice in advance that he's going to rescue me out of this. We need to be able to shift away from the constant inundation of negativity. And as wild as it is in the middle of that, celebrate the goodness of God. In the middle of this crazy COVID mess, we need to be able to celebrate the goodness of God. We cannot allow ourselves to lose sight of his goodness. Because when you lose sight of the goodness of God, you lose sight of hope. You don't want to do that. But if you force yourself to continue to say, no, I'm going to concentrate on the goodness of God, even in the middle of the bad situation, and you actually choose to celebrate, you'll find that these weights are going to come off your shoulders. And it's going to fill you with hope. It's going to strengthen your faith. And that faith is going to give God something to work with. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I think not only that, it's not just about you when you're going through suffering too, also a good thing to remember. Sometimes, when you're able to celebrate the goodness of God despite your suffering, that's an incredible testimony. It inspires other people and it shows that God's real. It's one thing to declare God's goodness when your life's going great. Anyone can do that. It's another when your life is a complete mess. You're in a great deal of pain. Things are looking terrible, and yet you're able to say, God is good. That's a huge testimony. One of my favorite testimonies that's been in this church basically my whole life is Susie Walchuk. She has MS, wheelchair bound. We've prayed many times for her to get healed. Thinking of what an amazing testimony that would be to see someone from an incurable disease get up off of a wheelchair. I believe that can happen. I've seen other people get off of wheelchairs before. But in her case, what has always inspired me is the fact that she has retained this ability to look to the goodness of God despite that suffering. And to me, that just shows that maybe there is a God, because that does not make any sense. She has every right to be bitter. She has every right to be mad, to be angry. Yet here she would be in church week after week, hands raised, glorifying our God. And that always got to me. I think that's beautiful. I just think even these last couple weeks of Gene Smith, what a testimony that's been, Gene. Gone through cancer, proclaim the goodness of God throughout it. Had a brain tumor, proclaim the goodness of God throughout it. What a testimony that's been. What an impact that's making on the lives of all the people in this congregation. Who knows the impact that's making for God? Even in suffering, when you can proclaim the goodness of God, what an impact that can make. Today, it being the year anniversary there of COVID, I think it's a terrible day. It's an annoying day. The fact also throwing a lack of sleep sucks. And during this whole time, I think we've done enough self-reflection about everything we've lost, all the pain and trauma we've had to walk through. We've done a lot of that. But first, I want to commemorate the fact that we have gone through a hard year. There's been some significant pain that some people in this church have walked through. There's been some extreme carnage that's gone on. Some people are still suffering immensely. We just want to acknowledge that. We want to declare that we as a church are going to walk through that pain and suffering with you. That we're going to do our best to fill your heart with faith. Fill your heart with love. To know that even if you suffer, you're still a beloved member of this church. You're still a beloved member of God. And we're going to declare that God is doing an amazing work in you. We're not going to belittle you. We're not going to make you feel lesser than. In fact, we're going to lift you up as one of the greatest among us. And believe that God's going to do something extraordinary. And that we're going to proclaim that there's going to be reward and recompense when all is said and done. And we're going to look forward to that future glory that one day you'll get to walk through. We're going to handle this like a family that loves one another. And again, even though this is a day of extreme sorrow, it's a day that's a terrible landmark and a reminder of everything we've walked through this past year and all the carnage it's caused. We're going to have a party. We're going to commemorate the good that still happened. We're going to celebrate the glory that's going to come our way. And we're going to testify to each other and to our community of the goodness of God. Some of the beautiful things that have happened that I'd like to commemorate here in this moment is that we've still been a blessing to our community despite the adversity. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for rising to the occasion. Some others have fled. You rose to the occasion, and we became a blessing to this community. We rose up. Right at the beginning, we delivered gift cards to a bunch of police officers, first responders, various detachments that are around here. Just wanted to bless them and thank them for their service and know that their life has been made even more difficult. We also applied to get a government grant, and we got it. And we were able to give a few $1,000 out to struggling business people, people struggling financially because of the pandemic. But all sorts of amazing testimonies came from that, to be able to love our community like that. We're also still able to donate to our local skate park. We still were able to get Bibles printed and send them to off to Ukraine. We continue to support our regular overseas missions throughout this time as well. Then we launched an online ministry that's been reaching people coast to coast. And right as we started that, my goodness, our computer crashed and our soundboard was on the fritz. Some of our more expensive things we have around here. That was scary for that to go wrong in the middle of a pandemic when barely any of our church people were here. But yet the church rose up. The church rose to the occasion. They donated. Now we have a new soundboard and a new computer that can easily do the online stuff. We've also had numerous new babies born in this congregation. New families have come. Other families have grown. We continue to get a steady stream of visitors. We've gained new congregants. And most importantly, heaven has rejoiced with us numerous times as people have declared that Jesus is their Savior for the first time in their life. People have dedicated their lives to Jesus in the middle of this pandemic. Their lives never to be the same again. Even today, we're going to have a few people be baptized to go public with their faith. It's amazing. There's so much to celebrate of, and that's what we're going to be partying for today. That in the middle of this craziness, God is still God, and God is good. So today we're going to celebrate what is worth celebrating. We're going to have a party, a legal one, that's still fun. Follows all the code rules or whatever. We're going to celebrate. And let this be the most raucous baptism service we've ever had. let's rejoice when we see people come out of that water. Because it's a huge thing. That even in the middle of a pandemic, they're going to declare, God is good and I'm going to follow him and I want to tell everybody about it. It's a beautiful thing. Let's spend this day declaring of the glory that's about to come our way. Let's shift our focus from the pain and the hurt and the suffering and say, God's going to use it. God's going to transform. God's going to recompense and reward. He will come through. We can trust in this. We're going to honor our God like this because he's still good, even if the situation seems to say he's not. That's when you're a real Christian, when you can proclaim the goodness of God despite the circumstance. That's what we're going to do here this morning. So yes, just bow our heads and pray here. Dear God, I pray first of all for those that have walked through one of the hardest seasons of their life this last year. God, there's multiple people in our church that have gone through very, very intense suffering. They've experienced even a death of loved ones. They've experienced their business failing, the stress of being in financial chaos. There's others whose mental health has taken an extreme hit as they've been quarantined and isolated and haven't got the social interaction and the encouragement they normally do. So God, we just acknowledge that. And we pray in this moment, God, that you would minister to our hearts. You would heal those wounds. And first and foremost, God, that you would bring hope in the middle of this craziness. God, I pray that your presence would become even greater to us during this. That this time of suffering, this time of pain, we're going to be able to look back at it years from now and say, that was a time I drew closer to God than ever before. That was a time when God became real to me. And this would be a very important part of our testimonies because it's something that marks us as different from the world, that we have the aid of the Holy Spirit. We have the aid of the Most High God. We have our Savior with us to walk through this, and it makes a difference. God, I want to also give you the honor and the praise and the glory for all the good stuff that you've done during this time. We don't want to neglect that. We don't want to look past that and only focus on our suffering. God, you've still been God throughout all of this. You've still been good. And we thank you for that. God, we thank you that you've continued to drop revelation in our souls. You've continued to draw us closer to you. You've continued to minister. You've continued to draw new people into this church. You've continued to encounter us week after week, and we thank you for that. And God, I just also want to just pray a blessing over this congregation. That in a time of need for their church, a time of need for their fellow family members in Christ, that they rose up to the occasion. Unfortunately, many other churches scattered. Even some old people in our people in our church kind of scattered. These people are the faithful few. They rose up. And God, I just want to give you the glory for that. And I pray you just bless these people. For all the good stuff that they've done, that they've chosen not to get stuck in the mud of this suffering, but instead they say, you know what, I'm gonna go still full steam ahead. I'm still gonna serve my Lord and my King. I'm still gonna be a blessing to my family at this church. I'm still gonna reach out in this community. Amen.